Greetings in Jesus' name. I was blessed this morning already by the much teaching that we had this morning with through song, through devotional, through our children's lesson. I think that we already had an opportunity to be taught this morning if we were open and prepared to receive those things. I can say I was blessed by the things that were shared here this morning already. And just pondering the things that we heard, and we're here to learn. And, you know, if only I could take the things that I know, the things that I have learned, and apply them when they're needed. And so often, it's so easy for, at least for me, to maybe do what I listen to my own reasoning. And then I forget those things that I've been taught by reading God's Word, by the preaching of His Word, by listening to His Holy Spirit. And I think we were reminded of that this morning, that we daresn't just listen to our own reasonings, but we need to allow God's Word and His Holy Spirit to speak into us. So this morning, anyway, like to just consider this time and think about our walk and where are we headed? Are we as we look at our lives? Do we see growth? Do we find opportunities and use them to grow stronger in Christ? And how and when do we do that? And as I've been pondering that, you know, earlier this summer, we had quite a long period of time that there was no rain. And our yards were turning brown, in our gardens and fields, things weren't growing very much. But as, you know, there was a time that probably any of us would have looked at our crops and the things that we were trying to grow, it's like, well, is it even going to produce? Is it going to bring forth any fruit? And it was easy for us to say, well, you know, what's the use? I don't have enough of water to reach around and keep everything green. And as we look now and look back, we can probably find areas that things didn't make it and they didn't produce any fruit. But there was, in the midst of that, our plants and our trees and our yards, a lot of them found a way to survive. It wasn't a time that they were able to see a lot of growth, but they had root enough that they could survive. And they came through in shining colors, so to speak. And, you know, well, how did they manage to do that? Well, I'm sure at the nighttime when the sun went down and the dews came, they took everything in that they could get. And if there was someone kind enough to come along and bring a garden hose and water them, they took it all in. And they used that to bring to get strength and to survive these hard times. And I guess, you know, that's a little bit how we are. We, in hard times, we have to find the opportunities that we have to take those things in and to soak them up and use them so that we can survive spiritually and even grow. It might not look like we're growing, but if we're taking those things in, our roots are going deeper and they're lasting roots. And there's also times that when life is not so difficult, and we can also take advantage of those times and really just soak it up. And we, you know, we're growing in leaps and bounds, so to speak. And so I'd just like to ponder some of those things and just, you know, just analyze our lives and be challenged and be encouraged by those things. Let's just pause and have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just pause before you here this morning with thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you that we have this opportunity to just spend this time before you. And Lord, we are here this morning because we want to learn. And we want to take these things that we hear today. We desire to apply them to our lives and to use them in later times in our lives, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us to receive them and that we could grow. Lord, I just pray this morning that you would be with each one here, that you would minister to each need here, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would be with those that are not here, that often are. We just pray, Lord, that you would just minister to them as well this morning, that you would bless them, that you would protect them, and that you would just have your way in each one of our lives. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I guess we all understand the need that not just to hang on and just to barely make it, but we see a need and we have a desire in our hearts to grow, to change, to become more like our Creator, to become more like Jesus would have us to be. And as we seek to do that, we very quickly come to an understanding that if we try to accomplish this in my own strengths, in my own understanding, that we will fall short. And I think we would all agree to that when we venture out on our own, that it doesn't go well. And so we realize that we need God working in our lives, in our hearts continually, so that we can grow. And that God working in our hearts and lives, I would like to refer to as, you know, as the plants and as the growth, the vegetation around us, as it needs water to survive, to grow, as it needs that, so do we need Jesus. And so do we need God working in our lives so we can maintain, so we can grow stronger. And if that if that God speaking in our hearts and lives, you know, if that stops, if we allow things into our lives that blocks those things, we see our lives fading spiritually. And so we know, we all understand how important it is to keep those channels open. I'd like to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 here. And as we look at the first chapter here, we see this here speaking to the Christians, I believe. And I'm just going to read the first chapter and then venture into chapter 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, and these different cities here, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven, which thing the angels desired to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loin of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, for your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This morning, this is a message to us. This is a message to the believers here, I believe. And we know that he's speaking to people that are following Jesus. And as we turn into chapter 2 here, and I think we already heard some of these things here this morning of not conforming, you know, not allowing ourselves to become like the world is in, you know, in all different ways. And if we look at the first couple of verses here, I see here in starting in verse 1, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. We see here, as we come through chapter 1 and then come into chapter 2, that there is a need for us to grow. And to the message here in verse 1 is that we need to make sure that we lay aside the things that would want to conform us in the way that the world speaks, in the way that the world lives, and that we need to lay these things aside, one garment at a time, one day at a time. You know, now is our opportunity to receive chapter 1 and to understand what chapter 2, the first couple verses here is speaking about, is to take those things on. Now is our opportunity to grow and to prepare ourselves for the time when we will face those days when there's not a lot of water coming down, so to speak. Are we taking this opportunity to make sure our roots are deep? And so when that moment comes that we're tempted to allow malice into our lives, are we going to have our roots deep and there's not many people there that can speak into our lives and say, where are you going? What are you doing here? Are our roots going to be deep enough that we're going to hear that still small voice, the Holy Spirit speaking into our hearts and saying, where's your heart going? What are you feeling right now? Are we going to be reminded of God's word? How he speaks about these things? We can be. And God wants us to be prepared for those times. And he gives us opportunity to grow so we can so that we can be successful. When we think of malice, we think of wickedness. You know, it's how the people, it's how we used to live. It's how what was mentioned this morning, it's how the world lives, and we're to lay those things aside and not to live like that. The guile, deceitfulness. We're called to take off this garment. You know, when we think of deceit, it is a mechanism that we use to try to gain for myself at the expense of someone else. To profit on someone else's loss. And we're reminded here that those are the ways of the world, and we're to lay those things off. Hypocrisies, you know, playing, you know, when we think of an actor, someone that pretends to be something, somebody that we're not really, somebody that we're not, putting on a show, you know, it's when we think of that, we think of someone being a Christian that is not really following Jesus. You know, not living. Jesus isn't coming out of our lives. And so, those are things that we need to, you know, look at and see that we don't take those things on. And if we see those things creeping into our lives, we need to be diligent to lay aside these things. I believe that these words here were being spoken to God's people, and the writer here was encouraging them to, you know, don't allow yourself to be conformed again, but lay those things away. Envy is wanting what someone else has. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, tells us about love. And charity envieth not. In Luke chapter 22, verse 24, the account there with the disciples there, a dispute arose among them. And what were they discussing there? What were they trying to they were trying to outdo them each other. They were trying to figure out who's the greatest, you know, who's doing the best job, who's closest to Jesus, who's going to be there sitting beside him. And, you know, obviously that would seem like there was envy there. And we're told here that's not to be part of our lives. We're to be in a church, in a gathering here where we're taking these things in, and we're helping each other. We have each other's, we have the best interest in for each other. We're not looking to undo each other, but rather to build each other up. Evil speaking, desiring harm to others. And as we go through this, we understand that all of these things belong to the world and are things that it doesn't belong to following Jesus. It doesn't belong to the Christian life. We have to be able to lay these things aside so we can come to, so we can truly experience verse 2 and 3. You know, the milk as newborn babes desire the sincere milk. You know, as you hold a baby, which there's some here this morning, and as that baby gets hungry, it wants one thing. It wants to feed on the milk that it is used to being nourished by. And if we do well in laying aside the things that conform us to the world, and if we understand what those things are, and we willingly and seek after those things and lay them aside, we take those garments off, and we put ourselves in a position where verse 2 comes alive. We can receive, and we can you know, it can be the dew of the night, and we will feed on that. It can be in the spring rains. We will soak those things up, and we will allow them into our hearts and store them there. And so we have them for later times. And so we will find ourselves being fed. You know, in Psalms chapter 42, verse 1, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants after thee. And as we rid ourselves of the things that will drag us down, that will take us away from God, as we rid ourselves of those things, we find ourselves experiencing this, and we find ourselves growing. And so as we live in this state, we see growth happening in our lives. We enjoy hearing God's word, studying God's word. And so when we're in this state, we desire to commune with God. You know, we've seen that in Genesis, in the Garden of Eden there, when Adam and Eve were there, and when they were living their life according to God's plan, according to His will, they were able to commune. But then when they allowed sin in and allowed Satan to conform, to mold them, and they conformed to his wishes, they were hiding. They had no ability to commune with him until those things were brought out and they were able to deal with them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, that can be our experience as we deal with those things. I'd like to turn to John chapter 15. And just read the first 5 verses here. You know, in order to grow, we must learn to abide in Jesus. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Again, here we are reminded, you know, where our success is. It is, you know, when we're in verse 5 here, without me you can do nothing. So when we're venturing out, you know, trying to accomplish great things, and we do those in our own strengths, we can understand why those attempts are failures. And we see the need here for abiding. And abiding, when we think about abiding, we think about remaining, to stay in, to continue, to constantly be in that state, to rest. And when we're doing these things, we find ourselves listening to the Word of God. We find ourselves reading God's Word. We find ourselves studying, and we also find ourselves applying God's Word to our lives. And I think we also find ourselves doing what we are doing right now. We seek out God's people, and we find opportunity to encourage ourselves by God's people, by a service like we are here this morning. We seek out times where there's meetings, there's God's Word is being studied, and we like to be part of that. And so, you know, we can look at that and we can be assured that that is part of abiding in Christ. Abiding in Jesus means we will seek to live in fellowship. In fellowship with Jesus, in fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We, in fellowship, like here, and even in deeper relationships. In John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Very familiar verse there, but I believe that, you know, it is part of abiding. When we look at John chapter 15 here, and we just allow those verses to speak to us in the way that they're written here, you know, if there's something in these branches that isn't profitable, that isn't going to help in the success of bearing fruit, the pruner is going to gently remove those things. And he's going to purge it out. And that's what Jesus does as we as we open ourselves up to, as we invite him into our lives and we desire to grow. And if we're sincere in that, he will do the process that we see here in these verses here. He will prune those things out and help us to be productive. Help us to be strong. And in the end, he's going to bring glory to himself. In verse 8 here, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." We see, as we allow this process, we feel some pain, we feel some struggles. But in the end, we see that it is good for us, and it brings glory to Jesus. And he tells us that we're going to be his disciples. And so, again, as these things happen, we're living in God's Word. We desire to pray and to seek God in faith, fellowshipping with believers, sharing our faith, the joy that we have in Jesus. We find ourselves expressing that, in sharing that, in many ways. And as I was pondering that, some of us may be more apt to go up and knock on someone and say, "Hey, where's your relationship with Jesus?" And that is only one of many ways that we can do that. We can share our faith with just the way we handle our bodies, the way that we walk, the way that we communicate to each other. Those masks that we so often see being worn in today, those can hinder us from expressing God's love. We can use our smiles, and the joy that is coming out of our face can help people dig deeper and help them to, it's like, well, I want to be part of whatever that person is experiencing. I want to be part of that. And so let's strive to allow God to teach us, and that we can grow, and that we can and be strong, and then we can experience that feeding on his word and be strengthened by that. In closing, in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 3, "The fining pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts." We think about gold. being refined. And when we think about gold, we think about something that is worth something, something that has value. And, you know, yet people that have this chunk of gold, they want to make it worth more. And they want to make it as valuable as they can. And when I think about that and look at verse 3 here, you know, that's how God looks at each one of us here this morning. He values you as a piece of gold. You're worth something. Yes, if we're honest with ourselves, there's some things there in my life that we know we need to work on. There's some things that it's like, I wish I could change. I want to do better. And God knows that. But He still looks at you as a piece of gold. And He wants to refine those imperfections out of our lives. He wants to teach us. He wants to prepare us. And so, let's just remember that, how God views us, and that we are worth something. And if you hear otherwise, that it is not the voice of God that is telling you that, if you ever come to an understanding that you're not worth a lot, that is not God speaking to you. That is the enemy of your soul that is trying to tell you that. And so let's go home today with the view that I am a piece of gold, and I need some refining, and God wants to teach me. And we invite Him and allow Him to do that. May God bless.